the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who allowed none to witness when He created the heavens and the earth, and who took no helper when He authored the spirits. He has no associate in divinity and no support in unity. Tongues fall silent before the limits of describing Him. Intellects fail before the core of knowing Him. Terence fall low in awe of Him. Faces are humbled in fear of Him. And everything mighty yields to His mightiness. So to Thee belongs praise again and again, well measured, continually, and methodically. And may His blessings be upon His messenger endlessly, and His salutation everlastingly, eternally. O Allah, make the beginning of this day of mine righteousness, its middle prosperity, and its end success. I seek refuge in Thee from a day whose beginning is fright, and whose middle is anxiety, and whose end is pain. O Allah, I pray forgiveness from Thee for every vow I have vowed, and every promise I have promised, and every pledge I have pledged, then failed to keep for Thee. I ask Thee concerning the complaints of Thy servants against me. If there is a servant from among Thy servants, of a handmaid from among Thy handmaids, who has against me a complaint, because I have wronged him in respect to himself, his reputation, his property, his wife or his child, or because evil words I have spoken about him in his absence, an imposition upon him through inclination, caprice, scorn, zeal, false show, bigotry, whether he be absent or present, alive or dead, such that my hand has fallen short and my capacity has been too narrow to make restitution to him or to annul my obligation to him, I ask Thee, O He who owns all objects of need, which are granted by His will and hastened to His desire, that Thou blessest Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, peace be upon them, and makest the one I have wronged satisfied with me in the manner that Thou willest, and givest me mercy from Thee. Forgiveness decreases Thee not, and giving injuries Thee not. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, give me on every Monday two favors from Thee: the facility to obey Thee at its beginning, and the favor of Thy forgiveness at its end. O He who is Allah, and none other than whom grants forgiveness for sins.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers, dear sisters, Salamun Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special. on IRIB English Radio. As I told you, this is today's special, and the topic for this episode is father-daughter relation.
You are a miracle. You are a blessing from above. You brought joy to my soul and pleasure to my eyes. In my heart I can feel it, an unexplainable feeling. Being a father, the best thing that I could ever ask for. Just thinking of you makes me smile. Holding you, looking in your eyes, I'm so grateful. Pray that you'll find your way. You know I love you. I love you, my little girl.
Today's Sunday is the 27th of Shawwal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 8th of Khordad, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 29th of May, 2022, of the Christian Gregorian calendar. On the previous episode of today's special, we opened the Holy Quran and we'll listen to verses 1 to 9 of Surah Takwir. Today, the same verses.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ.
When the sun is wrapped up in darkness.
وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ كَدَرَتْ.
And when the stars fall dispersing.
وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ سُيِّرَتْ.
And when the mountains are removed.
وَإِذَا الْعِشَارُ عُطِّلَتْ.
And when full-term she-camels are neglected.
وَإِذَا الْوُحُوشُ حُشِرَتْ.
And when the wild beasts are gathered.
وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ.
And when the seas are filled with flame.
وَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ.
And when the souls are paired.
وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ.
And when the girl who was buried alive is asked.
بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ.
For what sin she was killed.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Commentators have said that the pagan Arabs, when their wives were going to give birth, used to dig a hole and sit above it, waiting for the child to be born, and then bury her if it was female, and keep him if it was male. The cause of this crime might be due to various reasons, such as the lack of value for women in mankind by the pagan Arabs. Perhaps the other reason was the problem of poverty among those people, especially because females could not be as economically productive and beneficial as males, unfortunately. Also, that in the numerous quarrels between the tribes of that time, women should be captured by the enemies, which brought disgrace on their men. Father-daughter relation, today's special. Fathers and daughters share a unique bond. Women lucky enough to have had a good relationship with their fathers as children can look back fondly on special occasions, such as birthdays and family parties, whilst also treasuring memories of everyday pleasures like trips to the park or cozy bedtime stories. Not only does a girl's relationship with her father shape her childhood experience, but it will also influence how she interacts with men in her adult years. If a father is absent or erratic in his behavior, this sets his daughter up for feelings of low self-esteem and trouble with trusting men in general. All parents should therefore appreciate the importance of understanding the father's role in his daughter's life, as his presence or absence will play a role in her self-image and well-being for decades to come. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to talk about relations between fathers and the daughters. We find that daughters are important in all families because, these daughters are going to be mothers of a later on generation. Especially, this is true because daughters should be respected, in their own homes. For example, if you have a daughter at home, you have to respect your daughter. You shouldn't humiliate your daughter. You shouldn't despise her. You shouldn't be disloyal to her. This is because when a daughter is respected, later on when she gets married, her husband and her children will also respect her. And as we know, in all human communities and in all families, respecting one another is a battery, is a propelling force for everybody to go ahead and to contribute to the career and mission of any family. In this connection, let me give you an example. Imagine that the father of a family has a certain responsibility or a job at home, abroad, outside family. But when this man comes back home, he doesn't find any attention or any appreciation from his family. Sooner or later, he would turn into a person devoid of any impetus or any encouragement to do. To work hard in order to support his own family. On the other hand, when we find that such a kind of active and kind relationship is available, we find that in this connection, everybody receives the right encouragement.
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible.
فجرا جئت بعد العسر يسرا ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام.
All in all, in today's special IRIB English Radio.
Again, another message to fathers: what you need to know about raising daughters. Adolescence is an uncomfortable experience for everyone, particularly as a young girl. The frightening and sudden psychological changes are accompanied with societal pressures to look like this and walk like that. As a young teenage girl, dealing with all this pressure can be overwhelming. So when your daughter gets to her teenage years, be aware of the struggles she will certainly face and do not ever dismiss her as emotional. As a father, your psychological support is extraordinarily important. Be patient with her and let her know you are there for her. If your relationship does not allow for you to speak about feminine issues comfortably, don't remember that your wife or other important women in your daughter's life are your allies. Express your concerns to those women and ask them to be there for your daughter. This way you are aware of the issue she's facing, and if or when the time comes, you will be prepared to advise her or even just listen.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Warta darbi, shukran. Shukran ya Rabbi.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. نورت دربي شكرا شكرا يا رب
شكرا يا رب.
Now come to this part. Oh daughters, to all the daughters, listen carefully. You always turn to your father when you are in trouble. A daughter feels safe and protected with her father. She knows if there is a man in her life who will never bail out on her and will always be there for her, that's her father. She knows she can call her father at any hour of the day and he will be there for her. No one can ever give her that sense of security and commitment.
We learn from Ahlul Bayt and we learn from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. So hopefully today we could shed some light of how Rasulullah dealt with Fatima alayhi salam through the hadiths and the seerah of Rasulullah and his tradition. Fatima was the main concern of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Every time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi would leave the city of Medina, the last person he would see was whom?
Fatima
alayhi salam. He would go sit with her, comfort her, kiss her. And who was the first person he would go and visit as soon as he returned from his voyage or as soon as he returned to the city?
Who?
That was Fatima alayha afwal salatu was salam. And this is a hadith accepted and a tradition accepted by both schools of thought and all schools of thought. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi used to visit Fatima alayha afdal salatu wa salam before anyone. And she would be the last person he would visit and the last face he would see before, for example, his troops mobilized and left the city to defend the Muslims and the Muslim body. It was Fatima alayha afdalus salatu wassalam, and he would show her the respect. She was his main concern. Every morning at the time of Fajr, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi would go stand at the house of Fatima. He would not go wake up his wives. He would not go stand by the doors of his wives. No, he would go stand at the door of Fatima alayhi afdalus salatu wassalam, make sure that his family, his blood, his kin were awake and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and their connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was never disconnected.
That was interesting topic, the topic of father-daughter relationship. So, inshallah, we continue that. Till another episode of today's special, we leave you under Allah's protection. Have a nice time.
Told me that I'm crazy, who you praying for? They told me there is nothing, who you looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door.
They showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were like, yes, I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. 'Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners, and here is some excellent food for thought from Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace be upon him, the sixth infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Beware of three categories of people: the traitor, the oppressor, and the talebearer. He who betrays others for your sake will surely betray you. He who oppresses others for your sake will surely oppress you. And he who bears others' news to you will surely bear your news to others.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a hadith and transmission and narration which has been related from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam regarding the wisdom behind the prohibition of usury, a riba, usury. You know, it's something very common in today's world, kind of hard to avoid in certain situations. A lot of people ask, what is the reason behind it? What's the wisdom behind it? So in this tradition, Imam Sadiq kind of alludes to it. Of course, we need to take note of the point of the fact that we don't know the reason behind the rulings which have been delineated in and determined in Islamic law. Nobody knows the real reason behind them, the criterion for which they were formulated and specified and were given. But in some of the hadiths, right, we have certain hadiths which mention the benefits or the wisdom, the hikam, behind certain traditions. So because of this, the reason why we're making this reservation is because nobody should take these benefits which have been mentioned in the hadith and kind of apply them in other cases, right? And say that in other cases these benefits also exist, so there should be a similar ruling, right? Because we don't want to say that these reasons are the actual cause of the ruling. Rather, there are benefits that accrue from the ruling. And it's possible that there might be another reason behind it, and because of that, it doesn't allow us to, you know, expand the parameters of the ruling or constrict them in certain cases, because we don't know the real reason behind them. In any case, let's turn to the hadith itself and read what it says. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, when asked by Hisham ibn Hakam was one of the companions of the Imam, when he was asked about the reason behind the prohibition of usury, right? The Imam said, were usury to be permissible, people would abandon their trading and other necessities. So Allah prohibited usury in order that man may flee from the unlawful means of earning to trade. Right? So usury here in this tradition has been placed as something contrary to trade and tijarat, to trade, right? To work, right? It's considered as an alternative to work, which is something virtuous. Right, so therefore, God Almighty prohibited usury so that people would not do that and work, right, and work and turn to trade and tijarat, and stay away from usury and turn to something virtuous and turn away from this thing which is unlawful. In continuation, the Imam says, and resort to buying and selling, and turn away from that which is unlawful and turn and resort to buying and selling. And this in turn facilitates borrowing from each other. This facilitates, meaning turning to buying and selling, facilitates borrowing from one another. People borrow from one another and trade with one another and work. And you know, this is something virtuous that Allah wants. And it isn't like the alternative to this, which is, usury and riba. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the wisdom behind the prohibition of usury in the words of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني
Let's recite the Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد وآله محمد وعجل فرجهم. Respected brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thanks for joining us again with the Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network, and also with the presence of, the students of Sevier International School. So, thank you so much for joining us again. Inshallah, in this session, we are going to continue our previous topics about learning and reading the Quran Kareem fluently in level 2. So, before we start, I gotta ask some questions from the students here. And let's see what we learned in the previous session. So, who can tell us, please, what was the topic in our previous session? Prohibition of, mashallah, two sakin.
Ah, sir, if two sakin meets together, yeah. We should put a harakat to the first sakin.
Yeah,
the harakat is kasra, but like, yes. Or we can okay. Do
so, the topic was like iltiqa'u sakinatayn. And also, رَفْعُ الْتِقَاءِ السَّاكِنَتَيْنِ. It means the meeting of two sakin letters, okay? And also how to avoid this. Because when two sakin letters meet, none of them have harakat. So none of them is like having a physical like ability to move. So none of them can move. So if he cannot move and he cannot move, so how can we create a movement?
Sir, they're not
it's very difficult, yes? So if Hussein Musa cannot move, Minhal Hussein cannot move, and we ask them, come on, move. They say, we can't move.
They're freezing.
So we have no harakat. We have no movement. We talked about it. So iltiqa'u sakinatayn means at the meeting of two sakina
letters.
And how to avoid this? There were like many rules. We talked about them. But one general rule was there, yes? One general sentence we learned. That if you find two sakin letters meeting together, you gotta use this rule, okay? And apply it. What was the rule?
Add kasra to the first.
What was the Arabic sentence? إذ التقت الساكنتين حرك
بالكسر.
إذ التقت الساكنتين حرك
بالكسر.
MashaAllah. Okay. That was the general rule, okay? But there are some exceptions. So that was how to avoid or prohibit, okay, the meeting of these two sakin letters. So there were so many general, many rules, okay, but one general rule that we just mentioned, إذ التقت الساكنتين حرك بالكسر, but there were some exceptions, okay, that whenever you meet, those two sakin letters, okay, there are some other harakat as well, okay, that you can choose them. Either it's a fatha, that you assign, okay? Or for example, it can be dhamm. So when the word min, mim and noon. Mim has kasra, noon has sukun. Yes? When it meets a hamzatul wasl, or when it meets a sakin letter, so what harakat do you assign with? The noon. What harakat do you assign with?
Fatha.
Min was this, okay? For example, min al-qawm. Lam is silent when you connect them, yes?
Yes.
Becomes min al qawm. Min and Allah. Min Allah. Yeah? Min and nas. Min an nas. All right? Yes. Min and al kitab.
Do we have minin?
Say it.
Minin?
Min and al kitab. Can you say it?
Min al kitab.
Min al kitab. Min al kitab. That's it. But when you have this, the words that end with a sukun but preceded by a dhamma, like kum, tum, hum. So if you join it with the next word, so you assign the sakin letter with?
Dhamma.
Dhamma. So how do you say? For example, humul kitab. Yes? Humun nas, for example. Or like kuntumul, for example, whatever. So, okay? So you remember that you assign tum, hum, kum with a dhamma. All right? So these were some exceptions. And I want you to turn to page Ayah 45 of Surah Yunus, page 215. I want you to turn to page 215, Surah Yunus. So please turn to page 215. That's good, that's good. 215, Surah Yunus, Ayah 54. There was one more exception that we said we assign the sakin letter with dhamma. That was in the word ra'aw when we have a wawi sakin, but before wawi sakin we have fatha. So when we have a fatha, then wawi sakin, how do you kind of deal with these two sakin letters? There is a wawi sakin and the next letter comes, that's as well a sakin letter. Like ra'aw al-adhab, that lam becomes sakin, right?
Ra'aw al-adhab, yeah.
How?
Ra'awul adab,
mashallah. So you assign it with?
Ra'awul.
With will, no. With dhamma. Okay, you assign it with dhamma.
الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم.
If you see the Holy Quran in Surah Muzammil, ayat number 20, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, and recite as much as possible from the Quran. As much as possible.
Rabbana ma khalaqta hadha.
That's why they say one of the beauties of the eloquence of the fasahat and balaghat of the Quran is that whenever you open the Quran, it's as if it speaks to you today very, very clearly.
The Quran is a covenant of God for His creature. It is misaq. It is covenant for His servants. It is necessary for the Muslims to read this covenant and recite 50 words every day.
So, look at this ayah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. ولو أن لكل نفس ظلمت ما في الأرض لافتدت به وأسروا الندامة لما the next word, look. وأسروا الندامة لما رأوا العذاب. You got it? رأوا
وَالْعَذَابِ.
Okay, رَأَوُ الْعَذَابِ.
See where you're reading.
وَقُضِيَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِالْقِسْطُ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. So, everyone, so one by one, read that word, okay? From وَأَسَرُّ النَّدَامَةَ لَمَّا رَأَوُ الْعَذَابِ. Muhammad Yahya, read that.
لَمَّا رَأَوُ الْعَذَابِ.
عذاب, okay?
عذاب.
Yeah. Read, Mahdi.
لما رأوا العذاب وأسروا الندامة لما رأوا العذاب.
رأوا العذاب. Thank you. من الحسين.
لما رأوا العذاب.
Okay. لما رأوا العذاب. Thank you so much. That was one of the examples. Okay. That we assign the sakin letter with hamza, and that was how we deal with it. Okay. Two sakin letters meeting each other. So you assign the first one with dhamma, and there will be no problem. Because the second letter, okay, will have a movement. How? By the help of the previous one, okay? When you assign the previous, the first letter with dhamma, so this dhamma can help the next second letter to move on, okay? To have a haraka. So, the next example, I want you to please go to page 516, Surah Al-Hujurat, Ayah 11, okay? The last ayah in this surah. There is one example. Let me read the ayah, okay? And we will get to that example. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu la yaskhar qawmun min qawmin asa an yakunu khayran minhum. عسى أن يكونوا خيرا منهم ولا نساء من نساء عسى أن يكن خيرا منهن ولا تلمزوا أنفسكم ولا تنابزوا بالألقاب. Pay attention to this. How do I read the next three words, okay? Pay attention to the next part, okay? How do I read the next three words, okay? It's very important. بئس الاسم الفسوق بعد الإيمان. Did you pay attention? بئس الاسم الفسوق. Look, it becomes salism. Yeah? بئس الاسم الفسوق. That's very important, okay? بِئْسَ الْإِسْمُ الْفُسُوقُ. So if I didn't, if I had not told you this, how would you have read this? بِئْسَ الْإِسْمُ الْفُسُوقُ. Now, بِئْسَ الْإِسْمُ. The hamza that ism has, the word ism, that is hamzatul wasl, okay? The previous one, Al-ism, al-ism. So when you join bi'sa and al-ism together, the hamza of al is hamza tulwas, yes? So it will be skipped. But bi'sal, the lam is sakin, right? The next part, okay? Bi'sal-ism, that is hamza tulwas, yes or no? So when you join the words together, hamza tulwasl, okay?
Skips.
Whenever you have hamza tulwas, you will skip it. And sin also Sakin. How many Sakin letters do we have? We have Lam Sakin. Hamzatul Was will be skipped. No. But Sin is Sakin again there. Be'isalism, it should be there. Okay? So it means two Sakin letters we have. Lam and Sin. So, you assign that Lam, the first Sakin letter with? Kasra. That's easy.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu la yaskhar qawmun min qawmin asa. عسى أن يكونوا خيرا منهم ولا نساء من نساء عسى أن يكن خيرا منهن ولا تلمزوا أنفسكم ولا تنابزوا بالألقاب بئس الاسم الفسوق بعد الإيمان وَمَنْ لَمْ يَتُبْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ.
So, that was about our previous sessions, and we reviewed them and also learned some new rules, okay, some new examples. Inshallah, after taking a break, we will be with you, inshallah, respected brothers and sisters. So stay with IRIB English Radio and also with Sevier International Schools Network. So we will be back, inshallah, in a minute. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطي
The Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ilahi wa Mawlaya ajrayta alayya hukman ittaba'tu fi hawa nafsi. ولم أحترس فيه من تزيين عدوي فغرني بما أهوى وأسعده على ذلك القضاء فتجاوزت بما جرى علي من ذلك بعض حدودك وخالفت بعض أوامرك فلك الحجة علي في جميع ذلك ولا حجة لي فيما جرى علي فيه قضاءك وألزمني حكمك وبلاءك.
Brothers and sisters, we were discussing this part of the Divine Kumail supplication. إلهي ومولاي أجريت علي حكما اتبعت فيه هوى نفسي ولم أحترس فيه من تزيين عدوي. My Allah, my protector, I have myself given a decree against me. I followed the caprice of my own soul and I did not defend myself from my enemy. فغرني بما أهوى وأسعده على ذلك القضاء. My enemy deluded me through my soul's caprice and therein destiny favored it. فَتَجَاوَزْتُ بِمَا جَرَى عَلَيَّ مِنْ ذَلِكَ بَعْضَ حُدُودِكَ. So that is why I crossed some of your barriers and transgressed some of your limits. وَخَالَفْتُ بَعْضَ أَوَامِرِكَ. And disobeyed some of your commands. We mentioned earlier that Almighty Allah wants all the human beings to have the kind of belief whose place is in the heart and their is the place that can control and monitor every kind of deed that is performed by the organs. And in the path towards perfection, towards salvation and the Almighty Allah, the only hindrance in submitting to His will is the human carnal soul. That is why the Messenger of Allah has said, أَعْدَى عَدُوِّكْ نَفْسُكَ الَّتِي بَيْنَ جَنْبَيْكَ. The soul that is placed between your two sides is the most severe of your enemies. And that is why it is also narrated from Imam Ridha alayhi salam that when he alayhi salam was asked about a principle that brings goodness of this world and the last day together, Imam alayhi salam answered, Khalif hawak, oppose your own soul. So, opposing your own soul, your carnal desires and soul, is so important that it has become a kind of principle. And that is why it has been named as the Jihad Akbar. The Prophet of Islam, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, says, أَفْضَلُ الْجِهَادِ مَنْ جَاهَدَ نَفْسَهُ أَلَّتِي بَيْنَ جَنْبَيْهِ. The highest holy war is a war against one's own soul, between his two sides. This between two sides means your own soul is so close to you that most of the time you will not understand that your soul is bringing you and degrading you from your own position the position of closeness and mercy of the Almighty Allah. So this is what Imam Ali alayhi salam is trying to make us understand.
My God, my Master, you decreed a law for me, but instead I obeyed my own low desires, and I did not guard myself against the allurements of my enemy. He deceived me with vain hopes, whereby I was led astray, and fate helped him in that respect. So I transgressed some of the limits set for me by you, and I disobeyed some of your commandments. You therefore have a just case against me in all those matters, and I have no plea against your judgment which you passed against me. I have therefore become liable to your judgment and afflictions.
Thank you, Allah. So good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
Imam Ali alayhi salam starts this part saying, أَجْرَيْتَ عَلَيَّ حُكْمًا اتَّبَعْتُ فِيهِ هَوَى نَفْسِي. I followed the caprice of my own soul. And if a human follows the caprice of his own soul, it would deceive him, and it would prevent him from the remembrance of Allah. It would make him forget his own death, the last day, and the most important of all, his most important duties. Allah's will, on the other hand, which is materialized as human freedom, cooperates with the soul, makes the human benefit from it in wrongdoing, instead of fulfilling responsibilities, that is, to oppose Allah's beneficial rules. Interestingly, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, وَأَسْعَدَهُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ الْقَضَى. And destiny favored it. It seemed that this is the right way to live in this world. The carnal desires delude all the human beings to such an extent that they think this is the right way to continue living. This is what they should have been doing from the start, and they should have been following the orders and wills of their Lord. And as a result, فَتَجَاوَزْتُ بِمَا جَرَى عَلَيَّ مِنْ ذَٰلِكَ بَعْضَ حُدُودِكَ. So I crossed some of the barriers, I transgressed some of your limits. وَخَالَفْتُ بَعْضَ أَوَامِرِكَ. And I disobeyed some of your commands. So it seems overall that this part of the Kumail supplication, this phrase, starting from أَجْرَيْتَ عَلَيَّ حُكْمًا اتَّبَعْتُ فِيهِ هَوَى نَفْسِي, is describing, it is somehow depicting a picture of all the human beings in their path towards salvation. If you follow your carnal desire, if you follow the caprice of your own soul, you will not defend yourself from the enemies, and you will sometimes understand and recognize your enemies as your true friends. فَغَرَّنِي بِمَا أَهْوَى. Deluded me through my own soul's caprice. And even the world cooperates with you. وَأَسَعَدَهُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ الْقَضَى. Sometimes everything seems to be in its place for me committing a crime, for me committing a sin. And you shall not transgress the barriers and limits of the Almighty Allah in that case. فَتَجَاوَزْتُ بِمَا جَرَى عَلَيَّ مِنْ ذَلِكَ بَعْضَ حُدُودِكَ. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode of the program as well. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye. Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah. Ya Allah, ya Allah, don't let me go astray, cause I need you by my side. I wish to be close, close to you through Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way. Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio. This is
for a better life.
For a better life.
فرمود بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق.
The Holy Prophet of Islam says, I have been sent to complete noble manners.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In this episode of A Better Life, we are going to discuss the effects and impacts of getting closeness to Allah. And of course, in the previous episodes, we also discussed some of the effects of closeness to Allah, or proximity to Allah. But in this episode, we are going to focus on one of the effects of closeness to Allah, which is peace of mind and confidence. Whenever a man gets close to Allah, the Lord of the universe, of course, all other things appear light and small to him. All other things appear and seem insignificant to him. He feels that he is under his protection. He is under the protection of Allah the Almighty. So nothing can be harmful to him because he consigns all his matters to Allah. And he rests assured that nothing is going to affect him or nothing is going to harm him. He will not suffer any difficulties and pain except that they are to his own benefit, and Allah will give him rewards for those pains and sufferings. Of course, pains and sufferings are there. Even the Holy Prophet of Islam and all the prophets suffered in their lives. They suffered at the hands of the people among whom the Holy Prophet lived. So sometimes blessing, pains and sufferings are actually a kind of blessing in disguise. We think that they are bad. أَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. We think that pain is something bad for us while it is good for us. You know, this is what the Quran says.